Welcome to the Christian Ministry Church Podcast. We're praying that this message equips and empowers you to live in the kingdom of God. Now for today's message by Pastor Paul Kern.
Boy, you could just feel the power of God and the anointing of God flowing all through this room. And I know people were being healed and God was ministering to needs, different needs in this building this morning. I mean, it's beautiful. It's just beautiful. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's give God a hand clap. Thank you, Lord. Thank you so much. Thank you. Well, if you're joining us for the first time, my name is Paul, and I want to welcome you to Christian Ministries, and we're so glad that you chose to worship with us today, and obviously all those join us on live stream and podcast, and man, we just get so many great emails from different people all over the country listening to us, and it's such an encouragement to us that we're encouraging you with what God is doing here at our church, and so we just pray God's blessings on you and that you continue to listen and be blessed. Wasn't Natalie just great this morning? Our Natalie? Wow. Well, I'll tell you what, I have been so blessed to be a part of Natalie's journey and God bringing her here to our ministry and coming through Applied Life Leaders Academy, our young adult internship, and watching all that God has done in her life and just the healing and the restoration and the growth. It's just, it's great getting to see God work in people's lives. It's just really, really great, and God has just done such a great thing in Natalie, and just getting to hear her heart up here on the stage, the humility and the gratitude that Natalie walks in, it's just a really, really awesome thing getting to see God do that. Have a special announcement today. Our worship leader, Lucas Vaughn, is having a birthday today. Happy birthday, Lucas. 30 years old today. Yeah. One of our young band members said that 30 is the new 20. So I said, Lucas, that's what they tell you when you start getting older, just so you'll know. Well, if you are joining us for the first time here with us on our campus, or if you're listening by our live stream, each year we get direction from the Lord, what He has for our church, you know, where He wants us to go. We don't just want to show up and just do something. We want to have direction. We want to have a course. And so our vision for our church this year is the Zoe-led life, the Spirit-led life, being kingdom people, and pretty much everything that we're going to be talking about is going to revolve around that topic. A lot of things can fall under that topic, but the course that God is taking us, I believe, is a real course of growth that He's had us on the last couple of years, for sure. The Bible talks a whole lot about maturity and what maturity looks like in the life of a believer. If you want to turn with me to Philippians chapter 3, I want to look at a couple of verses that the Apostle Paul penned. This really shows Paul's heart, the pursuit that Paul was on, kind of what his thoughts were about maturity and the things that God was actively doing in his life when he was alive and trying to fulfill the plan and purpose that God had for him and his generation, and obviously generations to come. But in Philippians chapter 3, we're going to be in verse 12. Paul said, "Not that I've already attained it or I am already perfect, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you." The Apostle Paul made it clear that he did not see himself as having arrived fully. Even the great Apostle Paul, who got all of this revelation, was still taking on the attitude of, "I'm growing in Christ," right? I'm maturing in Christ. I haven't arrived. I got more to learn. And I really think maturity is the hallmark of a God kind of life. You know, God says He wants us to bear fruit. Well, fruit has to be mature before you can eat it. You know, immature fruit is not good fruit. It's got to be ripe. It's got to mature. And so maturity in Christ is such an important thing. You know, here's the thing. Maturity in Christ removes confusion from your life. When you're immature, you're confused. You know, when you're childlike, there's just a lot of things you don't know. Maturity in Christ makes you fruitful. It helps you fulfill what God has called you to fulfill in your life. So I want to take some time in this message, and I want to talk a little bit about maturity and what some of the marks of maturity are. And I think we're also blessed by people who express maturity. I know I am. I'm so blessed by people who express maturity and people who are mature in my life. That character, that behavior, it compels us, it propels us, it influences us, it encourages us. I tell you what I love. I love seeing young people who walk in maturity. I love it. I think that's one of the reasons I like being involved with the young people, because I get to challenge them to come into that place. But we love it when a young person carries themselves well, don't we? Don't we love it when a young person displays maturity? You know, they interact with adults in an adult manner. They assume responsibility. They lead others well. I mean, that's just refreshing, you know. And let me tell you something, church. We are so blessed. We have a church full of young people that are mature. You know, I get to interact with our young people. Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. I get to interact with our young people in Christian Ministries Academy, and I get to interact with young adults and those that are in Leaders Academy, and outside of that, just in our young adult group. And man, we're so blessed, so blessed. If you're a parent, some of the things I'm going to talk about today are a good list of things for you to teach your children and to try to instill in their hearts. If you're a coach, if you're a teacher, I mean, these are signs that we wish every student possesses when they graduate, and these are just things that every adult needs to have in their life. So let's get started. Let's dive into marks of maturity. Number one, marks of maturity. Mature people are able to keep long-term commitments. Mature people are able to keep long-term commitments. One key signal of maturity is the ability to delay gratification. And part of this means you're able to keep commitments even when they're no longer new or they're no longer novel. The new wears off of everything, does it not? And mature people can commit to continue doing what is right even when they don't feel like doing it anymore. Because you're just not going to feel like doing it anymore. Romans 8:13 says, "For if you live according to the flesh, you will die, but if you live by the Spirit, you'll put to death the deeds of the body and you will live." James 1:4 says, "But let patience have its perfect work in you, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." See, mature people, they don't go from job to job. They don't go from one relationship to the next relationship, one friendship to the next friendship, one church to the next church, one fad to the next church, one thing to the next thing. Mature people recognize that they are building a life. And they are building a life one day at a time, brick upon brick. See, mature people understand that every day is an important day. There's no such thing as an unimportant day for a person who is mature, because they understand that life is built in steps. The steps of the righteous are ordered by the Lord. The Bible teaches seed time and harvest. The only way to experience a harvest is to invest yourself in planting and cultivating faithfully the responsibilities that God has given you. You have to tend the garden. See, God said, "I have put you in the garden to take dominion, to be fruitful, to multiply, and to tend it." To tend it, to watch over it. Nothing happens overnight. Farmers understand this. Nothing happens overnight. No growth is instant. God has designed the universe by principles and patterns. It's governed by laws, and one of those laws is the law of perseverance, and perseverance is needed in any long-term commitment. You have to just learn to persevere. I love there's a parable that Jesus shares in Luke chapter 18, and he's talking about this woman who is going to this judge, and he's not a righteous judge. He's not a godly judge. As a matter of fact, it says he doesn't really fear God, and he doesn't fear people. And this woman goes to him, and she says, look, you know, I want you to avenge me of my adversaries. There's been an injustice done to me. I want you to right this wrong. And the Bible says that the judge did not give her what she wanted because he was just or godly or anything like that. It says, the judge said, this woman, she's coming to me day and night. Every day. She's about to wear me completely out. I'm going to give her what she wants just because of her long-term commitment. This woman's committed to this thing. She's not giving up on this thing. She's not going to walk away from this. She isn't going to go away. So I might as well go ahead and give her what she wants. And Jesus put this parable in the Bible, specifically this in the context of this parable. He's talking about prayer and what our attitude toward prayer should be. You know, you don't just pray for something one time and, you know, because it doesn't happen for you magically, you just quit and give up. He modeled that kind of commitment for us to see. And I hear people, they tell me, well, Paul, I tried and it didn't work. And my response is, stop trying and commit. I mean, even Yoda said, no try, only do. Right? Y'all remember that? For the Star Wars fans in the room? You commit to it like your welfare depended on it. See, mature people understand nobody's going to do it for them. God gives us opportunities. We make of the opportunities what God gives us. You know, think about it. If you go to the gym, you know, and we talk about the beginning of the year and everybody goes to the gym, you know, they've got that commercial about, you know, the Purple Planet where everybody goes and you know, the gym's just overrun with people the first month. But if you go to the gym for one day and work out, you're not going to see any results. You go to the gym for 2 days, you're not going to see any results. Well, I'm just wasting my time. No, go for a year. Commit. You make a long-term commitment for a year with your health, and what will happen is growth. Growth. I heard this statement one time. God uses oak trees, not mushrooms. God uses oak trees, not mushrooms. Are not perseverance and strength the great virtues of an oak tree? Don't we admire those qualities in people when we see them? Just practically, you know, taking out a loan, that's a long-term commitment. Whatever it may be, you're paying for your cell phone, you're paying for a car, you're paying for a home, whatever it is, you know, taking out a loan is a long-term commitment, and that means that you owe money and you pay it back no matter how long it takes. If you borrow money, if you can only make a $10 payment a month on that, you pay it until you get that rectified. See, the thing about it is there are businesses all in Hot Springs, and their computer hard drives and filing cabinets are full of Christians who have defaulted on loans. That's not a kingdom quality. That's a worldly quality. If you're hired for a job, you finish it. No matter how long it takes, no matter how many setbacks you have, no matter how difficult it is. I remember when I was younger and I made an agreement with my landlord that I would dig a ditch 800 feet long, 22 inches deep, and I would lay a gas line. And if I did that, he would give me 2 years free leasing of the land where my wife and I started our first home. I had my gas fitter's license, and I was licensed to do that, and I thought, man, that'd be 2 years worth of money. Well, about 2 weeks later, and four broken ditch witches and me having some hard conversations with God and thinking some thoughts that weren't really all that pleasant and a few boulders that were as big as I was, I got that sucker laid. But that's what I said I was going to do. That was the commitment that I made. See, mature people make commitments and they keep their commitments no matter how long they take. Number two, mature people are unshaken by flattery or criticism. Pastor Tim talked a little bit about this last week when he talked, but as mature people, you know, they sooner or later understand that nothing is as good as it seems and nothing is as bad as it seems in life as you mature. You just start figuring that out. See, mature people, they can receive compliments or they can receive criticism without letting it run them or sway them or taking them off into a ditch somewhere that they don't need to be in. See, mature people don't allow criticism or somebody bragging on them throw them off emotionally. You know, when people brag on you and they talk about how awesome you are, you know, we were bragging on Natalie, your mean old lead pastor who is unemotional, was back there in the back the first service hugging on Natalie and pushing back tears, you know, of how proud he was of Natalie and bragging on her. And I bragged on Natalie, you know, and after all that was done, we sat down and we cried together because we recognized God's grace and the goodness of God on our lives. Listen, when people brag on you and they talk about how awesome that you are, and you are, but don't let that stroke your ego. Don't start thinking you're all that in a slice of toast, right? Because you're really not. You know, I remember Elijah the prophet, I'm the only one. And God said, no, I got 7,000 more that can replace you before you start thinking you're all that. It's like the old saying, go, we'd pat you on the back, but your hand's in the way, right? But at the same time, when somebody criticizes you, it doesn't cause you to plummet in depression and you start feeling terrible about yourself. Oh, I'm a terrible person. They're right. What they said was right. Well, it may be right, but it's not the end of the world. You know, begin to work on it. Make changes. Repent. See, mature people realize how life works. There's always ups and downs to life. You don't allow the highs to go to your head, and you don't allow the lows to go to your head. You just try to find a balance somewhere in there and say, okay, God, you're good. Help me. I've always been told, chew up the meat, spit out the bones. And I think that's so important in life. That's what we have to do. Now, the fact of the matter is, criticism hurts. It does hurt, and I get it. It's painful. I think one of the reasons that criticism hurts because there usually is an air of truth to criticism, and I think it's important for us to pay attention to that. But at the same time, you know, because somebody criticizes you or somebody flatters you, give God the credit and just grow from it. That's the way mature people do. Number three, mature people possess a spirit of humility. We're talking about kingdom living this year. The devil got kicked out of the kingdom because of pride. That's the thing that removed him from God's presence, and that's the thing that has kept him so evil and horrible all of these eons of years, is because of his pride. Pride, the Bible says, is as the sin of witchcraft. It is the worst sin that there is. I believe that humility parallels maturity. They just go hand in hand. And you've heard this said before, humility isn't thinking less of yourself, it's just thinking of yourself less. Right? We don't beat ourselves up, we don't put ourselves down, we don't make derogatory comments about ourselves, we don't talk about how dumb we are and we're idiots and we're so stupid, and you know, we don't do that to ourselves. That's not That's not what God has called us to do. We are God's children. We are King's kids. We sit at His table. We are accepted. We are appointed. We are anointed. We are loved by God. That is the attitude that God has called us to have. But mature people, they recognize how other people have contributed into their life, and they appreciate that. They appreciate that. The mature people give honor where honor is due. They sincerely give honor where honor is due, first and foremost to God. You know, a person who is humble, you know, they don't take credit for things. They recognize God blessed them. God put them where they were. God blessed them with the abilities, the talent, the circumstances, the people. Everything they have, they recognize God did that for them. They don't. James 4:6 says, God resists the proud, but He gives grace to the what? The humble. Proverbs 16, verse 18, pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Better to be humble in spirit and lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. You know, there's just nothing attractive about a prideful person. I've never wanted to be around prideful people. They don't draw me. There's nothing appealing about them. But mature people, they're humble. That's attractive. They give other people credit. That's attractive. They give God credit. That's like Jesus. Humble people are teachable. You know, humility, hands down, is probably the greatest enhancer or limiter of you being teachable in your life. I had to come under Tim's authority. I had to listen to what he had to say. And my teachers that were at Applied Life when I was here at that time, and I had to admit I'm wrong and they're right. See, it takes humility. See, pride tells us we don't need anyone else's help, and pride also tells us we're above the rules. They don't apply to me, which is foolish to think such a thing because the rules apply to everybody. The Bible's very clear. A person will reap whatever he sows. What goes around comes around. We all understand that. You know, I think about Saul in Scripture, and I don't have time to go through the whole story, but, you know, Saul was the king of Israel, and God had put him in this great place of honor, leading people, and God was so good that He gave Saul a really awesome godly man, a prophet by the name of Samuel. He connected him with this man who could help give him wisdom and keep him on the right path and doing the right things. And God surrounded Saul with all kinds of opportunities to go down in the history books as a world-renowned leader. But even though Saul had the right person and the right circumstances around him, his pride kept him from being teachable enough to hear from Samuel or to learn from his circumstances. See, people who are humble, they learn from people. They learn from people of all ages. You know, our lead pastor mentioned last Sunday when he preached, he talked about how, older people, they've got a lot of wisdom. And so it's imperative for younger adults to go to them for wisdom. And listen, I have young adults in our program. They want to have meetings with me, and they're asking me for wisdom on different things. And I'm always glad to be able to do that, and I appreciate that. But one of the things Tim said last Sunday, he says now that he's older, he's going to the younger to get advice. That's wisdom. That's humility. If you're a young person in this room and you have an older brother or you have an older sister and they are doing right things, they're honoring God, they're acting mature, they're being wise, then I encourage you to pay attention to what they're doing and emulate that. Do what they do. But if you have an older brother or sister who is acting foolish and acting immature and not doing what they're supposed to be doing, don't do what they're doing. Be smart. Be wise. Be humble. Be teachable. See, humble people, they lean in. Humble people take notes. Humble people listen well. Humble people learn from their experiences. I've often heard this statement, experience is the best teacher. Have y'all heard that? Experience is the best teacher. Well, you know, I don't know about that. I know a lot of people that have had a lot of experiences and they ain't learned a darn thing. Right? Now, I think learned experience is the best teacher. We've got to be humble enough to say, you know what, that was a bad idea. That didn't work. Me and Tim, we've had a lot of bad ideas. Josh, he's now 10 years in the ministry, and he's starting to learn. He's had some really bad ideas, too. Now, the thing about it was a good idea at one time, or at least we thought it was. But you know, one of the things that we do on Monday mornings, we have staff meetings after Sunday, and we talk about what did we do right, what did we do wrong, what worked, what didn't work. How did we do it good? What do we need to change? Well, if you just sit around and talk about how awesome you are, then you're not going to make the appropriate changes that you need to make, right? So there's going to have to be a little humility. Yeah, you know, and we're constantly trying to tweak and make better and more effective so that people can connect with God. I go back over my sermons. I listen to what I preach. Tim listens to what. There's nothing more painful than listening to yourself preach. Let me just tell you that right now. I'd rather be beat over the head with a sledgehammer than listen to myself preach. It's just, Paul, why did you say? Oh, gosh, what were you thinking? You were doing pacing. What? No. You know, but that's the only way you're going to improve. That's the only way you're going to mature. Is you have to humble yourself and grow. Let me give you another one. Mature people base decisions on character, not feelings. Mature people, students, adults, they live by values. There's principles that guide your decisions, not your feelings, okay? You live by values. Mature people are able to progress beyond merely reacting to life's options. They're proactive with different things that happen in their lives. A mature person's character is master over their emotions. When I came here, my emotions were master over me. Whatever Paul felt like doing is what Paul did. I had a lot to learn, and boy, did I learn. My first year of applied life, I felt like somebody turned on a fire hose and I was just sitting right at the outlet. And I mean, because I just had so much that I needed to learn. Let me give you an example. Mature people don't make friends based on interest. They make friends based on values. And if you're a young person listening, I want you to hear me out. Oftentimes, we make friends based on similar interests. They like video games. I like video games. Let's hang out. They like riding bikes. I like riding bikes. Let's hang out. They like concerts. I like concerts. Let's hang out. They like working out. I like working out. Let's hang out. See, we make friends based on similar interests, but really, a mature person is going to make friends based on similar values. You know, one of my best friends is Eric Oliver. He's sitting in the room today. Eric and I work out together. Now, Eric and I do have similar interests, but that's not why I work out with Eric. I work out with Eric because we have similar values. Eric loves Jesus, and so do I. Eric believes in discipline. He believes in hard work. He believes in perseverance. He believes in long-term commitments. He believes in honoring his wife. He believes in raising godly children. I believe all of those things. He believes in being committed to the church. I believe in those things. See, I connect with him because we encourage one another in our walk with Christ. Tim's my friend. He's been my friend for almost 40 years, and my spiritual father and my mentor. We have similar interests. We have things, but we have a lot of differences. But I value the wisdom that Tim brings to my life. Now, when we talk about friendships, we often get frustrated with friends. You ever been mad at a friend? You ever been frustrated with a friend? Come on. Don't look at me like holier than thou. We all have. And we've often wanted to end a friendship. Tim has made me so mad. I'm talking mad. I'm talking red-faced mad. I'm like, forget him and forget this place. Mad. I'll make that confession right in front of all of y'all. I wanted to quit. As a matter of fact, any place was better than here. Have you ever been there? You ever felt that way? But see, had I acted on my emotions, my story would have turned out very different than how it has turned out. And see, that's what we have to understand. Y'all have all heard the statement, you know, never make permanent decisions based on what? Temporary emotions. And man, it's so, so important. See, mature people understand feelings, they have ebbs and flows, and therefore they can't be trusted. You can't trust your feelings. You don't make decisions based on your feelings. Mature people, and what we're talking about this year, mature people are spirit-led. They're Zoe-led. They're not feelings-led. Jeremiah 17:9 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" 1 John 2:15, it says, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him." And your feelings and your flesh will have you wanting to participate in the world. But your spirit will say, nope, don't do that. Don't make that decision. Be wise. Be wise. One of the things that I always tell our young adults when it comes to making decisions, don't ever ask yourself, and all of our young people that are here and all the ones listening, don't ever ask yourself what's wrong with something. That's the wrong question. You ask the wrong question, you're going to get the wrong answer. The question that you ask yourself is this: is what I'm about to do, is it wise? At this season in my life, is it wise for me to make this purchase? At this season in my life, is it wise for me to go to this place? At this season in my life, is it wise for me to make this decision or make this choice? See, you don't make decisions based on emotions. You make decisions based on character. Number five, mature people express gratitude consistently. I have found that the more I mature, the more grateful I have become for the big things and the small things. I don't complain nearly as much as I used to. I remember when I was younger, I complained about everything. I don't find myself complaining nearly as much. Immature children presume that they deserve everything good that happens to them. They almost expect good. But see, mature people see the big picture and they realize how good they have it compared to most of the world's population. We got running water. We got a toilet in our house. Electricity. A roof over our head. I thank God for the food that I have to eat. Seriously. You ever get hungry, you be thanking God for the food that you have to eat. God's provision. See, one way to mature is to be grateful for all that God has done. I think we're all tempted to focus on what we don't have instead of what we do have. I think we're all tempted to covet. That's why God said in the Ten Commandments, don't covet your neighbor. Because we tend to look at what other people have and, you know, that stage of life that they're in, where they are, we're not there. We wished we were, so we begin to covet, and we become very dissatisfied with where we are, very unhappy with where we are. And the problem is, when we do this, it's very easy to become stuck in a rut of depression, a rut of dissatisfaction, a rut of ungratefulness. We've got to stop looking at what's wrong with our lives and thank God for all of the good things in our life. We could go around the room and we could all share our stories of all the bad things that happened to us, and we could all leave here depressed and crying. I'm not kidding. Life is hard. It is hard. Hard things happen to us. There's a lot of people right now I am praying for. They are going through hard, hard things. Maybe dreams that haven't come to pass for you yet. There's probably all kinds of obstacles that you're facing. But the conversation that you have to have with yourself is God is faithful. Everything may not be perfect in your life. It's probably not. It's probably far from perfect. But listen, if you cannot be grateful and happy where you are, you won't be grateful and happy where you're going. Happiness and gratefulness is not a destination. It is a state of mind and heart. Well, I've had to learn it. See, God is faithful. Our attitude needs to be, God, thank you that you love me. Thank you that I'm your child. And thank you, God, you know what I need when I need it. And you're faithful to provide it when the time is right. And if you don't provide it, I probably didn't need it. At least not at that moment. That thinking of a lack of gratitude, it attracts depression, oppression. It attracts that into your emptiness, dissatisfaction. And to have people who are born again, living in the kingdom, living like that, that's not the abundant life that Jesus promised us that he wanted us to walk in, but it's our choice. See, the Apostle Paul, this guy had so many obstacles in his life. In prison, shipwrecked, snake bit, beaten more than once. And then the guy is in prison and he's writing a letter to the church of Philippians on joy. What I just read to you at the beginning out of Philippians chapter 3, Paul was in prison. Somebody was writing that for him and he was in shackles and chains. And he said, I have learned the secret to life. Well, when somebody's in shackles and chains and they're in prison and they're writing you that I've discovered the secret of life, you better sit up, lean in, and pay attention because this guy got a hold of something. And it clearly in a new car or a new house or a new job or a new phone, it have nothing to do with any of that. Live every day giving thanks and being grateful for what you have, the health you do have. Our boy Jason Roeke is sitting over in the front row, and I'm going to tell you what. Fell off a ladder, broke his leg. He's got a long ways to go, but I can promise you he's grateful he's sitting in that seat right now. He's not laying up in that bed or in the hospital or dead. See, we all have something to be thankful for. Number six, mature people prioritize others before themselves. Tim's mom once told me, our lead pastor's mother who helped start this ministry, she said, Paul, a mature person is one whose agenda revolves around others, not self. And she told me that when I was really young because all my agendas revolved around myself. What I was going to do that weekend, who I was going to do it with, who I was going to marry, where I was going to go, what my career was going to be, how God was going to, you know, do all this stuff for me. Kind of job I was going to get. And really, life should not revolve around us. It should revolve around others. And certainly this can go to an extreme and it can be unhealthy, but I believe one of the pathways out of childishness is getting past your own desires and begin to live to bless other people. Make other people first. If you help other people fulfill their dreams, I promise you, God will help you fulfill your dreams. But there's just something about it in our heads. We just think that, no, I've got to pursue my dreams. And not that there's anything wrong with pursuing a dream. You just can't make your dream your God. You can't make your dream your goal. Your dream is a pathway by which God leads you to encounter people. And those people, God has destined you to impart His Zoe into, to encourage them. Hebrews 13:16 says, "And do not forget to do good and share with others, for with such sacrifices God is pleased." John 15:13, "Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends." And I think our selfish nature is always to put ourselves in front of others, but real happiness and fulfillment is going to come from blessing other people. It's always funner to give than it is to receive. It's fun to bless people. It's fun to do things for people. Man, we got a church full of young people. You set your eye on one that you see working hard and doing everything. They're not lazy. They're doing everything they can to serve God, and give them make an opportunity for them to make some money. Put a 20 in their hand. Put a 100 in their hand. Take them out to lunch. Bless them. Walk out in the parking lot. Find somebody's car whose tires are bald. Buy them a set of tires. Bless them. See, it's so easy to wake up every day. We think about our agendas and our schedules, but mature people go out of their way. They go out of their way to pray for other people, to bless other people, to text other people, to email other people, to do things to be a blessing. Immature children, they think about their needs, their wants, and their desires, and they want it right now. But we grow out of immaturity, and we come into maturity. That's what we're doing this year. 1 Corinthians 13 says, "When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things." Yep. Last one, number 7, mature people seek wisdom before acting. They seek wisdom before acting. A mature person is a teachable person. They don't presume they have all the answers. The wiser you get, the more you realize you don't know much of anything. That is one way that you will know you are becoming wiser. When you start thinking you're a know-it-all, you're stupid. I mean, that's all I wish I could say something nicer, but see, mature people, they're not ashamed to seek counsel. They seek counsel from adults. They seek counsel from coaches. They seek counsel from teachers. They seek counsel from parents. They seek counsel from their youth pastors and leaders. They seek counsel. Only the wise seek wisdom. And it's always best, and I always tell our young adults this, it's better to err on the side of caution than to step out and do something you don't have any clue about what you're doing. As I was coming up through the ministry, I would go to Tim for all kinds of wisdom. All right, Tim, how do I be a husband in this situation? How do I be a father in this situation? How should I invest my money? What should I do? I mean, I wore that poor man's door out, knocking on it. I was going through it all the time. But I needed wisdom, and he was willing to give it. And if he was willing to give it and it was good wisdom, I was willing to listen. And then I would go out and put it into practice. See, wise people, they don't just ask for advice. They go do the advice that they were given. I watch people come to me all the time and they ask for advice. They go do the exact opposite of what I just said. And then they say, well, that didn't work. Well, you didn't go do it. See, James 1:22 says, be a doer of the word, not merely a what? A hearer. You'll be blessed in what you do, not what you see. There's a difference. You don't just up and do something just because you're bored or you're impatient. Well, I'm tired of being alone, so I'm going to get a boyfriend. I'm going to get a girlfriend. I'm tired of this dumb car. You just go buy a brand new one and get in all kind of debt. And then you're upside down like so many people are when they bought their car in 2020 during COVID and paid $8,000 to $10,000 more than what that car was worth. It was a bad financial decision. See, mature people, they're not impulsive. They're not herky-jerky. They don't just up and do something. They find people who have knowledge in an area, and they get counsel. You know, let's say that you're struggling emotionally, or you're struggling spiritually, you're having a hard time in an area, you lack wisdom. The best thing that you could do, you know, maybe you're frustrated about a situation, or you're confused. The best thing that you can do is go get counsel. Proverbs 20 verse 5 says, counsel in the heart of a man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. And it's best to find people that have been there, done that, and got the t-shirt. Once again, if you're a young person in here, okay, there's nothing wrong with having conversations with your friends and talking with your friends. If you're a young adult, y'all can pontificate, and I know y'all do, because I used to stay up all hours of the night talking about how smart we were. We figured out all of life's problems, and we had it all solved. I remember doing that. And we couldn't believe how dumb those adults were. I mean, I'm serious. But you've got to understand, if you're asking your friend for advice about a problem that is within your age-appropriate category, most of the time they don't know any more about it than you do. So you're asking somebody that really can't tell you a whole lot because it's not that they're stupid, it's that they're ignorant. They don't have the life experiences to be able to speak into your situation. See, that's why you value old people, young people. You value them. You honor them. You do everything you can to connect and have a relationship with them. If you're a young person, listen to me. You need to connect with some adults in your life and get to know them well. Don't be one of those young people that you only hang around your age group. You're only going to be as wise as the people that you run with are wise. So you're going to have to get with some people that are older and wiser. All right, let me end with this because I've gone over time. As I close my message, I want to encourage our church to be intentional this year. I feel like the last couple of years have been a real year of growth for us. A lot of good things happening in our church. Allow God to mold you. Allow God to turn you into the person that He wants you to be. Now, let me say this to you, especially certain temperaments in the room. Don't get overwhelmed with all of this information. I remember meeting with Tim, and he would tell me stuff, and I would walk out of his office, and I would feel like, I thought, I am the dumbest person. I don't know anything. And how am I going to implement all this? How will I ever get to where he is? And I would be so discouraged. Well, the reason that I got discouraged is because I thought I could eat an elephant in one bite. And you cannot eat an elephant in one bite. The Bible says the steps of the righteous are ordered by the Lord. And one thing that you have to understand about sanctification is a process. It is a lifelong process. Once again, mature people understand they're building something over a lifetime. You're not going to be 15 and have the wisdom of a 50-year-old instantly. You're going to build a life into that. Does that make sense? So as you're listening this year and you're hearing Josh talk and Tim talk and me talk and the different speakers that come, you know, like David Barton and Rick and Green, I mean, it's like, wow, this is so above me. They're so intelligent. This is so amazing. This is so, and I just feel like a little grasshopper. Well, that's okay. Everybody's got to start somewhere. Now, what you do is you grow. And this year, if you miss the mark, if you fall to temptation, if you sin, if you fail in some way, and you probably will over a year's time, the best thing that you can do is not quit, not condemn yourself, not talk about how terrible you are, how stupid you are, what a failure you are. Don't let the devil make your ear a garbage can for him to dump his lies. What you do is you confess your sin to God, right? Ask for forgiveness. repent, pick yourself up, and know this. If God is for you, who can be against you? God is behind you. He is empowering you. Now, we don't want to make excuses for habitual sin. That's not what I'm talking about. Well, God, you know how I am, and this is just how I am, and so this is the way I'm going to be the rest. No, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about growth. Old things pass away. All things become new. We're moving forward. But in that, we're going to give ourselves some grace. We're going to look to God, and we're not going to allow ourselves to get discouraged or overwhelmed. We're going to know that we are pursuing God one day at a time, and we're all growing together. Amen? Y'all get something out of this? Stand with me this morning. Let's pray. Thank you for allowing me to go 10 minutes over. Father, we thank you. We are so grateful to you, God. Thank you, Lord, that you're patient with us and that you extend grace to us. But thank you, God, like Natalie prayed, that you put a burning desire in our heart to pursue you with all that we have. Because, God, we want to hear you say, well done. We want to be faithful. Lord, empower us, equip us, network the right people into our life. Help us to walk in these qualities, these marks of maturity this year so that we can walk in your blessings and be fruitful. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a great day.
Thank you for listening to this message from Christian Ministries Church. If this message impacted you and you'd like to sow into our ministry, you can give at cmchurch.com. If you'd like to listen to more of our messages, you can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. Just search for Christian Ministries. God bless.